Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Four Boys. Look at you.
Hey.
Coming to our show. Wow. Look at you. Great job. Great job turning on this podcast.
Thanks.
Sit down.
My name, Jamie, you're recording the podcast. I'm talking to the listeners right
now. Oh, sorry. You made me happy. So I wanted to be involved.
Not Jamie. God, Jamie, not you. This is for the listeners.
Okay.
I'm trying to make the listeners feel good here, okay?
Yeah.
Stop hogging the limelight.
I got it.
So glad you guys came. Oh, boy. So nice to see you again. Because I am looking at you right now.
Yeah.
My name's Ethan. I'm one of the three hosts of the Lore Boys. As always, my two co-hosts.
Peter, one of the three hosts of the Lore Boys.
And James Miller. And we actually remembered to introduce ourselves on time because Ethan's driving the ship.
Season 3 has been off to a rocky start where it's just like, yeah, you know who we are. Who cares? Yeah. Here's some shit about Bioshock.
That's it. Ethan's drinking coffee, not booze.
I'm drinking sparkling water.
Yeah, I'm getting my clams in. What can I say?
Lore Boys brand clam juice?
Yep.
Is that a Lore Boys brand Lore Caesar?
Extra spicy.
Extra spicy.
Clam and jamming.
Yep.
Jamie the Clamy. You know what I mean?
It's, yeah.
What is that, a Mott's brand Clamato Caesar? This episode of the Lore Boys is brought to you by Mott's. I'm pretty sure they make vegetable juice.
They do.
But they throw a little clam in there, and yeah, clams aren't vegan, though, guys, so.
They're not, no. If you're a vegan out there and you have a clam, like, perched above your lips as you're about to take a bite, put it down!
Please.
Hold up. You're about to betray some very personal oaths.
That was an animal.
It was an animal at one point. Doesn't look like one. Never even really acted like one.
Nope.
But it's an animal.
It behaves much more like a rock.
The booger of the sea.
The booger of the sea, as they say. That's true.
That's what it says on the bottle, at least.
Made with booger of the sea, in parenthesis, clam. I believe that's the scientific term for a clam.
Yep.
The booger of the sea.
Shout out to Ryan Williams, good friend of ours from New Brunswick,
who works
on a clam farm.
Oh, he does. Really? He quit his time at Bishop's while we were together to go off and become a marine biologist.
Oh, cool.
And he studied...
Does he do, like, bar clams? Like, quahogs?
I don't know what he does, but he, like, works with the clams themselves. He's not probably in the bar part of it, but I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a bartender, is what we're trying to say.
Exactly.
He's a bartender who specializes in Clamato Caesar.
Okay. I see.
Marine biology.
Yeah. I was thinking he was hanging out with clams and, like, assisting them with things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is he brushing like a social worker for clams?
Yeah.
Rebuilding their homes.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's say.
Disaster relief for clams, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Global warming doesn't just affect humans.
That's it. You know, like building something, when you say you're all thumbs, it's bad. What's worse than all thumbs? No thumbs.
All clams.
Yeah, that's it.
That's clams. All clams are worse than all thumbs.
Yeah. I would say.
Decide what do you want right now.
I just can't.
Clams or thumbs?
Clams.
Got like a bucket of clams and like a cigar cutter over your thumb.
that's the expression. It's just like, oh, I just can't seem to... Can't thread the needle. I'm all clams today.
Yeah, that's it. I'm all clams.
Yeah.
Your money or your clams, kid?
Can't dance. Got two left clams.
Yeah. Put that on a piece of corn.
Yeah. Sorry there, fella. Hey, everybody.
This is a podcast that we talk about nerd stuff, not just clams and booze. And our friend Ryan Williams. Today we're talking about Fire Emblem. Mm-hmm.
And that Embo is his Twitch name, I'm pretty sure.
Embo 96 on Twitch.
Kind of sounds like Emblem if you couldn't speak right.
That is true. Embo.
Fire Emblem.
Embo. Fire Embo.
Like if you'd gone to the dentist and your face was still paralyzed?
Yeah, exactly. Too much Vicodin. Been there, you know what I mean?
Che.
Hell yeah.
Che, bro.
I love Fire Emblem. I haven't done an episode before now because I haven't really played like all of the titles. I've played a number of them. But
you've played the same one like a million times on your phone, too?
Yeah. Sacred Stones... First owned on GBA. I still have it on GBA. Same. I just don't know where the charger for my Game Boy Advance is.
Oh.
So now
is it an SP?
It is an SP.
I think I have one, actually.
Oh, shit.
If you want it.
I mean, yeah, I'll definitely borrow it to charge that bad boy up. Because once you charge a Game Boy Advance, it lasts for months.
Yes, it does.
Yes. Thing is, when you're on the Metro and you're playing a Game Boy Advance game on your phone, it's significantly less nerdy than playing a Game Boy Advance game on a Game Boy Advance.
Right, it's kind of hipster now, though. Yeah, I think the Game Boy Advance, the SP is retro enough to be considered cool.
Okay.
I think it is, yeah.
Like, I have a DS, and that would be pretty nerdy if I played on the
bus. I have a 2DS.
Not that any of us really cares about looking nerdy on public transit.
At all.
Yeah.
No.
But I do think that if I saw somebody playing an SP, I'd be like, what a fucking hipster.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Like that guy who brings like a full typewriter to class instead of a laptop.
That guy, yeah.
Fuck that guy.
That guy, not me.
Yeah. Anyway, all my notes here. This is great to take notes for your podcast on a typewriter. It's very, very good audio quality for our listeners to hear like the clacking of keys in the background.
Absolutely.
I hope they still use those in courtrooms for the when they write down
the stenographer.
As
someone who's been on a jury, I can tell you they do not.
Yeah. Shit. And it was never like
a computer.
It was a typewriter in the sense that it would like have the same like inking mechanisms.
Okay.
But those stenographer are actually like shorthand. They don't have. It's not like a full keyboard.
Oh,
so when a stenographer writes, they do everything in shorthand, and then they transcribe it later to a full.
Oh wow!
Because like people are talking so fast,
do they have like a single letter for th?
I guess. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know how it works.
Huh?
Maybe they just put a t dot for th.
What am I, a stenographer?
I don't know. T dot. That means Toronto.
It's no shorter than th.
No.
T-dot.
Okay.
Dot is longer.
T dot.
Hyphen.
All this to say, Fire Emblem is one of my favorite series of all time. I was going to do Pillars of Eternity for our one listener who requested it.
Matan.
But I started reading it, and I was like, I do kind of want to play the game before jumping into it. So I bought it this morning because I was frustrated with Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice last night. So
oh, yeah.
I walked in today.
He was still like hot under the collar from Senua's Sacrifice when he got in.
So I walked in Pillars this morning. Hopefully my next episode or the episode after. So I was kind of trying to decide which one I would do because I was researching Pillars of Eternity, and then I was like, oh, I gotta do something. I was gonna do Warhammer, I was gonna do Dungeons and Dragons because those are like my easy fallbacks, and then I was playing Fire Emblem on my phone. I was like, I could do this.
That's a good one.
I have never played a Fire Emblem game in my life.
Oh, they're fun, dude. Especially if you like XCOM. It's like XCOM but more consistent and funner, right, in my opinion.
I do like XCOM a lot.
You probably would like it. It's top down turn based strategy. So a lot like XCOM for anyone listening at home who's played XCOM. Except most maps, barring the occasional map, do not have Fog of War.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you always know where all the enemies are.
And there's weapon triangles and magic triangles, so it's always obvious what the weaknesses and strengths are.
Too. Okay, yeah. It's rock, paper, scissors, basically?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know exactly what the other person's going to throw.
Okay,
you know they're going to throw rock.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I got to get my guy there with his paper out.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
To catch that rock out of the air.
That's it. Because there might be scissors. There's like a scissors and a rock there. And you're like, how do I hit them strategically to, you know, win the game?
That's it. Clams beat, thumbs beats bartenders. And bartenders beat clams because they make the drinks.
That is true.
It goes all the way in the circle.
Like Ryan Williams, our good friend.
Exactly.
In New Brunswick.
Yeah.
He's a social worker for clams.
the first Fire Emblem I played is called Rekka no Ken or The Blinding Blade. It was the first Fire Emblem released in North America.
Cool.
Didn't some come out on DS that people got kind of ragey about because they released like 2/3 of a game and then a third game or whatever?
I don't think people got ragey about it. You're talking about Birthright, Conquest, and Awakening?
Yes.
Oh, that's where you make them fuck to make new units.
You can have your children because it deals with like time travel a bit, so you like end up going through like a wormhole and you end up meeting your kids later on. If your characters like support each other enough, support is a mechanic in the game, or if you have them fight beside each other enough, they have special dialogue.
They get horny.
Yeah. There's also a genital triangle to see if you can actually make the babies.
I'm going to let you describe what the third one is.
It's butthole.
Oh, nice.
And then you can't, get pregnant, so you get a, you roll snake eyes on the having a baby mechanic.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Oh. I think that's how it works.
And that one's essentially, I got a little upset about that one because I didn't know what I was buying. I just like went to a Walmart one day, saw a new Fire Emblem game, and picked up Birthright.
Okay.
But how it actually worked was Birthright was the easy one and Conquest was the hard one. And you basically, you play the two different factions. So, like, in Birthright, you're one side fighting against the other side.
Okay.
And in Conquest, you're the other side fighting against the one side.
Okay. Birthright sounds like you're already the family of the king defending your land, yeah. And Conquest sounds like you're trying to take the throne.
You're two rival nations. Mm. In Conquest, you are the dark, edgy boys who are like, we're the bad nation, you know? You do seem like that. Obviously, it kind of flushes out their motivations as you play the game. But I was a little upset because I didn't know. I ended up buying the easy one. I was like, what is it, all this hand-holding bullshit? Like, give me Fire Emblem, you know?
Okay.
But even then, it like is a fun game. And cool. Very, very Fire Emblem in every sense. Yeah. The first Fire Emblem game, Fire Emblem Shadow Dragon and the Blade of Light, was published in 1990.
Oh, shit.
In the last 29 years, 13 new original Fire Emblem games have been made and 3 remakes. Cool. Like I said, the first I played was Fire Emblem The Blazing Blade, or Reckon No Ken. It was released in North America as just Fire Emblem. And it takes place... So the first 5 games to come out, Shadow Dragon and the Blinding Blade, or Shadow Dragon and the Blade of Light, Gaiden, Mystery of the Emblem, Genealogy of the Holy War, and Thrasia 776, all take place on 3 canonical continents, whereas Fire Emblem and the Blinding Blade take place on... It's like it's unconfirmed that they're the same world.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a new timeline, new, like, lets them set up, like, new stories and stuff. So today, because...
The new Coke and the Crystal Pepsi.
That's it. Yeah. I have played the Shadow Dragon remake, which was made for the DS. But I haven't played any of the other first 5 games.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm dumping into the history of those. So the one starting in 1990. And then, like, Genealogy of the Holy War was, like, a prequel that took place, like, a couple years before.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so you said there's 3 canonical continents, right?
There for these 5 games, there's 3 canonical continents.
Not 3 continental cannons.
No.
Gotcha.
That'd be really cool.
No. Yeah.
Free if you stay at the Holiday Inn. Get a cannon. Until 10 o'clock.
Continental.
That's not a bad deal.
Get to use a cannon for the first couple hours if you wake up early.
That's it. You got to call for the wake-up call, though. Yeah, you want to get that cannon.
It's like 6 to 10.
Coincidental. Hotel bar.
The wake-up call is a cannon fire.
Oh, so, actually, do you get to keep the one that wakes you up?
Just the cannonball.
That's pretty cool.
Peter had mentioned Marth. Fans of Super Smash Bros. Will probably recognize the name Marth, Roy, Ike, Lucina, Crom, Robin, and Corrin.
Crom.
Crom, what a dumb name.
They're all Fire Emblem characters who are in the Super Smash Bros.
They're all
Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
They are all guy with sword, except for Robin does have a sword as well, actually, but he casts a lot more spells.
Okay.
Robin from Birthright, and Conquest, you can play as either a guy or a girl. It's like the first time you play a character in Fire Emblem that's not like, this is the character.
You choose.
You choose gender.
Okay. Can you be a swarm of bats?
You cannot be a swarm of bats.
Gotcha.
As far as I know.
Okay, good.
Just making sure.
You can be a swarm of dragons, assuming bat form, we'll get into. Which we will get into.
Cool. I like this. Yeah.
So, like I said, there's 3 continents. We're going to be talking about mostly one of them, Arcanea, which is where the first Fire Emblem, Shadow Dragon, and the second one, Mystery of the Emblem, take place.
Sounds like where the magic comes from, too.
Arcanea?
It's spelled with an H, though, in there. C-H.
Harkanea?
So, no, with a C-H.
Harchenea,
yeah.
No. Okay.
Harchenea.
Kamehameha. Last King of Hawaii.
Really?
Yeah, Kamehameha. He's the last king of Hawaii.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of cool. And that's where he learned it on an island, too, didn't he?
Yeah.
That's
where he learned the power of the spirit bomb. Piccolo is from Hawaii. Did you not know that? All Namek's are from Hawaii.
No.
Yeah.
That's not true.
We'll do DBZ lore someday, I think.
Sure.
Namek's, like, give birth to eggs, I think.
They look like lizard people.
They don't do live birth or something like that. It's weird. Yeah.
I don't know anything about DBZ.
Piccolo, you know, the guy with the green and the antennas.
Yeah, I think they just put their 2 fingers to their head. They scream a lot, and then a baby's just
baby
there. exactly.
And then they blast it. So the games originally take place on this continent called Arcanea.
Okay.
And the timeline of this world begins around 4000 BC.
Ish, yeah.
There's no Christ. Canonically, no Christ in Fire Emblem.
But they have a zero year and some shit that happens before that?
So the zero year is the founding of the Empire of Arcanea.
Okay, new calendar.
Yeah, exactly.
How did they say that there was no Christ in in Fire Emblem. We're like, oh, by the way, no God. Or like,
actually a footnote on every single page on the wiki. It's like weird, yeah. No, Jesus Christ, not included.
Really?
Yeah.
that's the weirdest Hasbro toy I've ever gotten.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, not included. Yeah.
That's you buy the manger set from Fisher Price, and they don't include Jesus.
Yeah,
and no batteries. Bastards. Yeah,
that's add on. Yeah.
Yeah.
With the long, or like you have to buy a bunch of different biblical characters, and each one comes with a piece of Jesus, and you like assemble it afterwards. Because I know there's toys like that. Like my buddy collected a bunch of like Iron Man toys. Like from back in the day, because then you could put together an Ultron. Like you get the arm, the leg, the torso, the head. For like five, there's like six different toys.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. That's cool.
So you get like you. It's like I don't really want whatever Longinus, but he comes with Jesus' torso, and I need that.
So for 4,000 years before the foundation of the kingdom of Arcanea, the Divine Dragon Clan were the rulers of an advanced dragon civilization which dominated the Arcane continent.
Are they dragon people, or is this a dragon-based society?
Dragons. Just dragons.
Oh, straight dragons. Okay. Straight dragons.
There are divine dragons who rule, but there were like other types of dragons.
That drool.
Like fire dragons, and ice dragons, and earth dragons.
Oh, okay.
Dark dragons.
Ooh.
And they were all ruled by the divine dragons. The smart ones, I guess. I don't know. Divinity is smart.
Okay. Divinity gives brain.
Divinity give big brain, make smart, rule people.
That's so silly.
For 3,000 years, the dragons lived in relative peace and hedonism, ruling over humans mostly benevolently.
Relative peace and hedonism? Yeah. Pardon me?
you're dragons. What do you do? Other than just, like, I don't know, glut.
Yeah, no? I guess. Okay. It's orgy 10 people max.
This is the word.
It's like relative hedonism.
Yeah.
It's a word that I've never really asked the meaning of, but what is hedonism?
It's like indulging in self-pleasure.
Yeah.
Oh, so peace and hedonism. Oh, that's fine.
Food,
then.
Sex, drugs.
Say,
yeah,
so do what makes you happy, but don't get in anybody else's way.
Yeah, I mean, not really. Inherently don't get in anybody else's way.
Well, peaceful hedonism would be.
I said peace and hedonism.
Oh, they're separate.
Not peaceful hedonism where it's just, you know, again, 10 where people or less, peaceful hedonism, no spanking.
Oh, peaceful hedonism where you let her come first.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think that's what that is, right?
I'm not sure.
Dragons very intent on letting the lady dragons come first.
Well, agree to disagree. What is how to make friends and influence people say?
Yeah.
Well, if I've learned anything from having friends and learning how to influence people in power or something, I think that's the name of it, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You've read the book.
No, that's right. And Dragon Lady's got to come first.
Dragon Lady's got to come.
Yeah, that's page 3, I think.
Front loads with that.
Oh, yeah, okay, exactly.
Well, I've never read the book. I read the back.
So many ways to the fields. Yeah. Eat all your sheep.
They were living in hedonism, ruling over humans, mostly benevolently. They were kind of like, not proto-humans, but like super non-civilized humans, I guess.
Okay.
So I guess they like rapidly advanced in 4,000 years to find their first empire. But
cave people. It's not quite cave. It's like tribal people levels, basically.
I want to say
not
like,
cave people.
I
want to
say like Egyptian.
Well, they're
okay. Like, well,
superstitious
cool.
And,
yeah.
You know.
Okay, that's quite advanced.
The reason that they were able to advance so quickly, I think, in that much video game time in 4,000 years, is that if someone did something stupid, they died forever, like in the game.
Oh, yeah.
So permanent death.
Darwinism is actually a thing in this video game universe as compared to some others.
Okay, cool.
Kind of burying the lead, because we didn't, I guess, explain this for people who haven't played Fire Emblem.
Yep.
But it is permadeath. If a character dies in the game while you're playing,
they're gone forever.
You never get them back.
Yeah.
Okay. Like an XCOM.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, the big thing with Fire Emblem is nobody plays the game letting their characters die. Like, you talk to anybody who plays Fire Emblem, and it's like everybody resets the level after a character.
Oh, yeah. That's the only way I ever finished XCOM was save scumming.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's impossible.
One of the ones that I played, you get this wonderful Pegasus Knight that's pretty, like, weak at the beginning, but she's like a flying horse, so she's super mobile, but she can't fight that good.
Archers basically, so like, again, the weapon triangle.
Yeah.
If you're a flying character, archers just do like massive critical damage to you on any given shot.
Yeah.
And she has like super low health, but so just like one shot.
You hold out until she levels up once to her next form, though, and you're laughing.
Yeah.
You just have like the fastest moving thing ever, does crazy damage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put some stripes on her Pegasus, make it go faster.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
And you do get, I know in Sacred Stones, you do get one item after you beat a boss who's like a flying character himself, which protects your flying character from bows. Essentially.
Oh, okay.
So now,
cool.
Like, her one weakness no longer becomes a weakness, and she literally just, like, flies around.
Isn't that kind of fucking broken?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, she's very, very strong.
Oh,
yeah.
She's one of the stronger characters.
But,
But you can't, like, it's hard to have one character do everything in Fire Emblem, especially for some of the maps.
It's pretty easier to lose her early on, too. I know Sacred Stones I picked up, like, in the last year, and I reset the same level, like, three times, because I just kept, she kept dying.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Playing on hard on that game is, like, so difficult, because people just, like, die.
Did you say hard on that game?
Like, what's that?
You said hard on.
Oh. Hard on alert. Everybody get a boner. Everybody listen at home.
You
gotta get a boner.
You guys found the Easter egg. Yeah. You say hard on in every episode.
Yeah. This wacky waving inflatable waving penis man just popped up and shooting confetti everywhere.
It was very fun. We'll add some sound effects in post.
That's peaceful hedonism.
So yeah, it was a pretty advanced and enlightened civilization overseen by the wisdom of the divine dragons, like I said. 1,000 years before Arcanea's formation, so minus 1,000 now. Or 1000 BC.
Okay.
The dragons begin to show that they couldn't stay young and party forever. Birth rates plummet and madness begins to spread across the various tribes.
Frick.
Of people?
Of dragons.
Oh,
so
shit.
Like the earth dragons.
Yeah,
the,
yeah, yeah.
And
okay.
They're all showing signs of madness. A lot of them are becoming infertile.
They all have syphilis.
Yeah, exactly. Syphilis, it spreads like a plague.
Especially when you're going to so many, you know.
Yeah,
orgies.
Yeah, that's it. No, it's it.
It's the orgies. What do you think did it? The orgies?
Nah.
Yeah, probably not that.
We should keep doing it.
Yeah.
Have we talked about Nietzsche on this podcast? We have, right? How the first time he fucked, he got syphilis, and then all of his philosophy is just dark, really depressing shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think we've mentioned that before.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Imagine that. You just first time you fuck syphilis, and you descend into madness.
Yeah, imagine.
Yeah.
Much more treatable now than in Nietzsche's day, I'm sure.
I think you get a shot.
Do you just get an injection or something?
Yeah.
Penicillin or whatever?
And then the to the dick. Doctor spanks you on the ass, you're good to go or something.
Yeah.
Like
nice,
that.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
my doctor, every time I leave, she spanks me on the ass, so
yep.
I don't see anything strange about that.
Same time next year, Ethan.
Yeah. Yes. So some strange sickness took hold of the dragons, a wave of deteriorating health festering among them, driving many mad and leaving the rest infertile. The canny divine dragons realized that while they may be falling to the disease, humans seemed immune to the effects of it.
Hmm.
Using their impressive magics, many of the dragons divested their power into what are called dragon stones, focal points for their ability, and allowing them and stones which allow them to change their shape to humanoid.
Hmm.
While they still could not reproduce, at least they were saved from the grasp of madness.
So when they turned into scalies and stopped going crazy, basically.
Yeah, essentially.
All right.
Stopped going crazy, could fuck all they want, and wouldn't get anybody pregnant. Seems like a win-win-win.
Oh, nice.
Win.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I have a real-life story about scalies, but I'm not sure if it's a time to share.
It's never a time for that story.
There's a time and a place for scaly stories, and it's never on the air.
Yeah.
For anyone confused at home, scalies are like furries. People who dress up in animal costumes and fuck, but like specifically
people who are turned on by reptiles, unusually cartoon reptiles. I'll tell the story real quick. There's someone at work, they do moderation for a certain platform.
Okay.
And they took their time to take down all these images of naked dragons, but were distributing them amongst their friends. So they got fired, and then we looked up all their forum posts later, and it's all this cringy, like, ooh, your jar, like large, scaly dick penetrates inside me, and all that stuff.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Hey,
their own, just don't do it at work, I guess, is the moral of that story.
Well, imagine you were the only one who just liked woman-on-man porn, and then you got a job doing it. Would you be able to not save
doing
it?
Doing woman on man porn?
Or just taking it down from the internet?
Okay.
Would you save it?
Oh, yeah. No, you gotta keep it.
If that was the weird thing?
That's basically Fahrenheit 451.
Yeah.
He's the only guy who loves books.
Oh,
he's
I've only...
He's a fireman, he burns books.
And he's saving them all.
Okay, I've only read How to Influence and...
Yeah.
How to Influence and Make Good Friends with Leaders and People.
Yeah, exactly. That's the one.
I think that's what the title of the book is.
That's right.
You read it. I haven't read it.
No, yeah.
I've read the back.
Of course, yeah.
They don't mention the title on the back. I didn't actually read the front of the book. I only read the back of the book.
Mm,
and they don't actually say the title anywhere on the back of the book.
Oh, yeah. So
that's why I don't know.
That's it. Well, yeah.
So these dragons, these scalies with their big, throbbing, scaly dicks.
Okay. You got my attention.
Uh-huh. All right.
Now I've made it so that we can't cut out that little story by bringing it back.
I think that's a funny story.
And now I've made it so we have to keep it. So we're stuck with it.
Locked it in.
For good or worse. so they figure out they can change their form into humanoid forms and it will put off the disease. These humanoid forms are called manakeets in the game.
Okay.
And manakeets usually get like one or two manakeets as playable characters in the game. And if they have a Dragonstone, they're basically like super, super weak characters, like super, super low defense, usually like very... If they have any attack with like a conventional weapon, usually it's pretty weak.
What are they? Because I'm picturing a featureless parakeet at this point.
So they come in a they come in a couple different shapes and sizes. The first one that the first ones that I had experienced were in Sacred Stones. You might remember Nils and Ninian, the twins.
Yes, I
the
do.
Teal-haired twins. They're dragons in human form.
Oh. Do they look like dragons, or do they look like people?
Nils and Ninian look exactly like people. You meet another. You get another.
That reminded me of Nil and Nether
From Zan Book of the Fall.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Not what we're talking about. Nope. Maybe someday.
At all, yeah.
Nils and Ninian look like distinctly human. They have no dragon characteristics. The first couple times I played the game, I wasn't really like listening to the story.
Okay.
And I didn't realize that they were dragons at all or manakeets at all. But you meet one later on who is basically like a little girl, you know, thousands of year old because. Nerds are weird sometimes.
Oh, yeah, that's very
you know,
anime.
The thousand-year-old nerd trope. Nerd girl.
Yep.
No,
yeah.
No, thousand-year-old
girl.
Is
that
girl.
A trope?
No nerd.
It is one of those things in a lot of... it's like a stereotype about anime is that, like, they look like they're 14, but they're actually 12,000 years old.
So it's okay
so it's
that
okay
they
to
fuck
them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a weird thing.
Yeah. No, they're a thousand-year-old lizard. It's cool to fuck them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly. Well, when you put it like that... I get it.
I never thought of it that way, right.
I'm getting nil from that, dude.
Yeah. you meet this girl, Mir, later on, who's like this little girl, but she has like wings, like small wings coming out of her back, and she has like horns, small horns coming out of her head. So she is like very distinctly.
She looks like a little demon thing.
Yeah, exactly. And she is the first one in the Sacred Stones who you can actually give the Dragonstone. And she, in battle, basically, she's super, super weak. She has, like, very, very low health, very low resistances. But you give her the Dragonstone, and when she gets into combat, she transforms into a dragon. And just, like, her health, like, triples, and all her defenses go up, and
Shit.
She just deals, like, massive damage.
I don't remember awesome. That part. I gotta replay, actually.
Yeah. It's a little later on in the game. I don't know how far you ever got. I think I think there's 24, 28 levels in that game, and it's, like, around level 18.
Cool.
Did you first meet her?
Cool.
Anyway.
I always used to play as the really big, meaty... Armor Boy with the lance.
Gilliam,
yeah. I used to just, like, use him as much as I could to get him so strong because he could just take so many hits.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
He's a tank, I guess.
Yeah, you just set him up front and then, you're laughing.
So in the games, they use their Dragonstones as weapons, allowing them to temporarily transform. From Genealogy of the Holy War, there was, like, notes on the game from the developers that Dragonstones were said to have been used in the creation of divine weapons, including Marth's sword.
Oh, cool.
So Marth's sword is a legendary weapon called Falchion. And the note in the notes for Genealogy of the Holy War, it said that the Dragonstones were used in its creation, but it's never been confirmed in-game.
Hmm. Is the stone embedded in the sword, or do they use its power to, like, forge it?
There is a gem in Marth's sword.
Okay. Maybe Dragonstone?
Maybe Dragonstone.
Maybe Dragonstone.
Who knows?
Maybe Dragonstone was sword.
His last name's Brooks, by the way.
Marth Brooks?
Marth, yeah.
Brooks.
Marth Brooks.
Yeah, that's better.
Marth Brooks.
It's just a piece of his achy breaky heart in that sword. I don't even know if that's him. I don't know my country music enough. But.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah.
Led by the Dragon King Naga, most of the dragons seal their powers into these dragon stones to become manakeets. Most, but none of the earth dragons choose to do so, barring their king Medeus. So all the dragons are like, fuck, we're going crazy. You know, we can't have kids anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Dragon King Naga's like, I got a solution. Grab one of these special rocks, put some of your power in it, turn yourself into a more human, and you won't get sick. And all the earth dragons are like, fuck that, dude.
Oh,
fuck
man.
That, dude. I will never change. I am not going to change. If my destiny is to go out crazy, stark, raving mad, that's what I'm going to do.
Screaming at a wall with a huge erection that I can't use.
Yeah.
That's how I want to go.
Every single earth dragon except for their king, Medeus.
Oh, and lucky for us, he had the Medeus touch, which turned crazy dragons into rocks.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Okay. Then he held his daughter.
All the earth dragons do eventually succumb and turn feral within 3 centuries.
All right. That seems pretty quick in dragon time.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I mean, you live for thousands of years, and it's just like, woo, 3 centuries. Like, you're done. You're done, kids. Sit down.
Yeah.
You passed your prime. You never work in this town again.
Yeah. In their madness, they begin to roam and hunt the lands, including the fledgling human race.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. That's
so
us.
They're hunting people. That is us.
That's us.
That is us. Not Jesus Christ, though. A, because he's not in Fire Emblem. B, because he's not a man. He's the son of God.
Well, where did the people come from, then?
Is Adam and Eve there?
I don't think they could be, right?
No. It's Adam, dragons turn, Eve? Dragons experimenting with manakeet form, fucking producing humans. So, I'm going to say it. Little bit canon.
There was one dragon who kept taking all the forum posts of human fucking down off the internet, and he created humans.
Hang on to that.
Yeah.
In response to the earth dragons now hunting humans, Naga decides to lead her divine dragons in a war against the earth dragons in an attempt to protect the humans.
Dragon war.
That sounds pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
One interesting thing I want to clarify. Naga is called the Dragon King, mm-hmm. but it is a female? She uses only female pronouns.
Lady Dragon, okay.
But she does use Dragon King. She doesn't choose the epithet.
I like it.
If it is it like in the military, because it's always like, yes, sir, sort of thing?
Maybe.
A lot of that happens. Yeah,
or even if you're a female knight, it's sir.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Yeah.
I saw the episode of Game of Thrones there.
That is true. Oh, Game of Thrones. You mentioned Game of Thrones. Now we can tag Game of Thrones on this episode. That's great.
Yes.
Great work, James. Great work. We got there. Boom, boom, boom.
At this point, you have to either berate the writers or else you get downvoted so quick nobody will see your post.
Ooh, writers make me so mad.
I went on the Game of Thrones subreddit, and I started saying that I liked the most recent episodes just to see who would bite, and there's a lot of people.
Oh my God. Sitting back, just like smoking, like, oh, so good.
Yeah,
just exactly. Tweaking one of your nipples.
Yeah.
That's peaceful hedonism right there.
Yeah. No, you're right, yeah.
So, Dragon King Naga, good on her, decides like, hey, our people are going crazy. My people are going crazy. They're losing their freaking minds out here. So she comes up with a solution to it.
Bunch of syphilitic dragons just rampaging across the earth.
She invents vaccines, and she's like, we're all going to get vaccinated. It's chill, right?
She's like,
everybody's going to love this. Earth dragons. Big anti-vaxxers.
Dang.
They're like, listen here, okay? Dragonstones have mercury in them, okay? Dragonstones have hydrogen in them, okay? Do you know how flammable hydrogen is? I will not be putting my body in that.
Not being a psycho gives you autism, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
All the dragons are sending minion memes to the other dragons.
Just the earth dragons.
Yeah.
Just the earth dragons. Minion memes, right?
They are insufferable. And then, she says, like, oh, fine, okay, I can't force you to do it, whatever. You know, like, whatever.
She could put it in the water supply.
Yeah, but she chooses not to, because she's not a psychopath, because she didn't go crazy. She assumed manakeet form.
That's her first mistake.
But then...
Yeah, didn't go crazy. Oh, I knew it.
But then she notices these crazy dragons. Not only are they anti-vax, they are very... they don't believe that there's like a balance to the environment or anything, and they just start like slaughtering humans like at massive scales. And she's like, Jesus, guys, like, come on, I'll let you get away with the anti-vax thing.
Save some for me.
But now you're like, now you're killing too many people.
No,
like,
that's it. We got to keep them in the farms and we eat them as they reproduce.
Exactly.
It's like KFC where it's just like big racks of caged people.
Yeah. Kentucky Fried People. Whoa.
Kentucky Fried Children.
Yeah.
Dark. You can't say it. Well, as soon as you get under a certain age, you can't joke anymore.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I heard that before.
Tell that to a veal chop.
Tell that to a veal chop?
I will.
Who's doing stand-up to a veal chop?
So, Naga says...
breaded and fried?
Yeah. Naga says, finally.
Sorry.
Naga says, finally. We're gonna put an end to this. These earth dragons are making a big scene, making a mess. Don't want to deal with it anymore.
So gotta kill them.
Ghost of war. Gotta kill them all. Gotta exterminate them. All
right.
That's the only answer to this problem is to exterminate them all.
Yes.
The war wages for an unknown amount of time.
Do they have rock powers, or are they earth dragons because they can't fly?
No, they can fly.
Okay,
but they just have like earth aspects, I guess.
Okay, covered in moss.
Yeah. The war wages for an unknown amount of time, and the divine dragons do eventually succeed, though they almost wipe themselves out in the process. So now we've got pretty much no more earth dragons and very few divine dragons left.
Here comes the fire and water boys.
Fire and water boys, they're kind of just like background characters. They're like, we don't really have a lot of ambition.
Okay.
We're cool with manakeet form, whatever.
All right. I like them.
Naga would create what is known as the Dragon's Table, a temple situated on top of a mountain in the Wyvern's Dale.
Sweet.
Naga interred all of the fallen earth dragons and bound them using something called the Binding Shield, made from her own fang and five spheres. The Dark Sphere, the Geosphere, Star Sphere, Light Sphere, and Life Sphere. so she basically creates this seal by like ripping out one of her own teeth, drawing something in the sand, and putting like five precious stones in a in another bigger stone.
Dentistry's come such a
So it's called the Binding Shield.
Dentistry's come a long way.
Yeah, it's amazing what they can do.
Yeah. Yeah,
they say these new things are going to drive orthodontics out of business. You just put it in your mouth when you sleep. So the five stones, the dark sphere. This is a little bit of video game mechanics for you guys, because I know how much you love that.
Ooh.
Gives the ability to the wearer, shields them from harm, unless insulted by one possessing the light sphere. So they can't be damaged at all unless you have the light sphere.
And they have to insult them?
Yeah, exactly.
What the fuck?
But it has a corrupting effect on the user who wears it.
Oh, okay, well, that makes sense.
That's it. I guess you do too many roasts and you turn into Rick Ross. You know what I mean?
He looks so cute with his cornrows.
Boom. Roasted Rick Ross. Roasting the roast master. Guess who's the roast master now? Whoa, it's me.
Ethan?
Ethan. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's good. You've got the life sphere.
Call me Fire Manakeet because I'm roasting.
Jesus.
The geosphere gives the ability to cause an earthquake, wounding all characters on the map, excluding its wielder.
Cool.
So friendly foe just hurts everybody on the map.
Yeah, it's a big AoE.
Yep. The Star Sphere prevents a user's items from sustaining durability damage. So,
sure.
In Fire Emblem, like, you have your weapons, and they all, like, an iron sword has 45 durability, a steel sword has 30 durability. So it hits harder, but it breaks faster.
I hate that. I just remembered that. You gotta stop at little towns to buy new ones.
There are certain specific items in some games which can repair them. There's this sphere, obviously, this legendary item, which if you have it in your inventory will prevent any of your items from breaking. And it's important to note that all legendary weapons also have limited durability. So like you get, you know, like in Sacred Stones, I'm gonna keep comparing to this because it's the one I've played the most, but you play like siblings, you play as siblings, like leading your forces, Ephraim and Erica, and they both have they eventually get their like houses, like sacred weapons.
Okay.
And those, like, if you use them too much just in the regular story, they break. And you really need them for the final boss, because the final boss is just like incredibly difficult to beat. So you need like all these like special weapons, and you need a lot of charges on them. In Sacred Stones, you can get a staff called a Hamern, which will repair an item's durability. Hamern.
What does that mean?
It's a staff, like a magical staff that repairs a weapon's durability.
Oh.
But this sphere...
Think of super glue.
Your healer guy has it, I guess. The same guy who heals everyone.
Yeah. Or if you... So if you level up your regular spellcasters, your mages, when they evolve, because all classes...
Evolve.
They have, like, your base class, you have your evolved class, and then there's... For some characters, you get a subclass, which is, like, you have to evolve into your base class.
Mm. Okay, cool.
Those ones scale the hardest, but they're incredibly soft at the beginning of the game. So you just, like, they're hard, they're more difficult to level up to whatever.
Yeah.
And they take a lot longer.
Risk-reward kind of thing, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And your mages, when they level up to their evolved class, can use staffs as well.
Cool,
so
okay.
You can give it to one of them as well. The light sphere negates enemy terrain bonuses and the effects of the dark sphere. So,
terrain bonus, like high ground, you get a bonus to hit or some shit?
It's like if you're on a fort, you get improved evasion.
Okay, cool.
And you get a bonus to
hit. I was
going to
say, yeah, accuracy seems to be the biggest thing. Like,
yeah, that's it.
When you're fighting in the forest, you're not going to do as well if you're fighting in the plain open.
Are there, like, set percentages in this? Or is it like XCOM where it's like the full range between 0 and 100?
Someone's probably farmed them. I don't know if it shows them like outright.
Yeah, it always, every combat, it shows you your chance to hit, the damage you will do, if you will hit twice or if you will hit just once.
Okay, cool.
And it's all calculated based on the two characters' stats. And you can, so like that's why it's like XCOM in a lot of ways, because it's the same kind of movement system, the same kind of like combat system, but it's like you can always see all your enemies, and like you can see if they're in range, like if they can get in range of you, and we'll be able to hit you next turn. You could explicitly see that, because you can click their character, you can see exactly where they can move.
Yeah, because XCOM, you end up getting ambushed a lot.
That's it, yeah. Enemies come out of the dark, and they have a 20% chance of hitting you, and they get a crit, and your guy dies, and you're like, well,
yep.
I guess.
Save scum.
Yeah.
F5, F9.
Yeah. There's no saving in levels in Fire Emblem. You have to restart the level.
Yeah.
Well, that was my own personal way of saves coming in XCOM. Okay. Is I would restart the whole thing, not just go back a turn.
Okay.
Not if you play on an emulator, Ethan.
That is true.
You can save all you like. Yeah.
And finally, the life sphere. It fully heals its wielder at the beginning of each turn, which is insanely powerful.
Holy shit.
When they remade the game, Mystery of the Emblem, They nerf that, so it heals 20 at the beginning of every turn, which is
still huge. Yeah.
Still huge.
How do you even die in that case? You have to get killed in one hit.
Like, yeah, you'd have to get, like, one turn, which is, like, super, super possible.
Yeah.
But, like, you can go from full health. Like, if you overextend and three guys come up and hit you, like,
okay,
there's a decent chance. Or, like, if you even just get crit, like, there's a decent chance that you're going to die.
Yeah, because I don't know how the health and armor and damage scales in Fire Emblem.
Nobody's, like, particularly... You do get, like, some tanky people and some people with huge health pools, but not everybody gets
it. If a few Earth Dragons impose an orgy onto you, you might die.
You might die.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
A couple Earth Dragons fucking on your head might kill you.
Yeah.
yeah, so all that to say, those are the five gems that are in the Binding Shield.
Oh, that's cool.
The Binding Shield was placed upon the Dragon Table to keep the Earth Dragons in a perpetual slumber where their madness could hurt none. So it kind of, like, sealed them and the slumber and the sickness with them.
Okay, good.
You still couldn't revert to dragon form, but it wasn't like just propagating on its own kind of thing.
Man, those dragons should like patent that nap technology though.
Yeah.
Because some people have a hard time sleeping.
Yeah, right? Fall asleep for 10,000 years.
Wow.
Have anxiety.
Ever just want to sleep the day away? Boy, we have a product for you.
Just sleep away 300,000 years.
Yeah. Well, if you could, just someone puts the shield on you for a nice 8 hours, takes it off afterwards, and, I never felt so rested.
Do you ever just want to spend all day on a Tuesday sleeping, but you can't stop thinking about the inevitability of death? Boy, do we have a product for you. The Binding Shield.
Come up to our mountain retreat.
Yeah, the Binding Shield. You're basically dead.
Ding!
By the way, sponsors, get at us.
Great
ad reads here on the Lore Boys.
We'll make you sleep forever.
Yeah, exactly.
Skillshare, you're basically dead.
Casper Mattress. You sleep so well, you'll want to die.
That one, we had something there.
Yeah.
We'll come back, we'll workshop it.
We'll workshop that one.
Exactly.
Naga, the Dragon King, would place Medeus, the sole survivor and Manakeet of the Earth Dragons, in charge of guarding the altar and its seal.
Okay.
So she was like...
I locked your entire race in there.
That's all your boys.
Yeah.
All your boys taking a nap in the other room. I need you to watch the door.
Forever, basically.
You know your boys get too rowdy for this party, okay? Let them sleep it off, and when they're ready to come out, they can come out.
When they're good and hungover, we can have a chat with them.
Naga would also then remove another fang and fashion Falchion, Marth's sword.
Cool.
With a dragon stone, if the notes from genealogy are be believed. But in game, it was just the fang. She took her fang and she created the falchion, the legendary sword that Marth uses.
So she saved the world, but now she has to mash up all her corn.
That's it.
Yep. That's it.
She made a shield out of a seal to keep all the dragons at bay and was like, I made a shield. I got to make a sword now.
Yeah.
And decides to also make a sword.
And now all she does is just gum those cobs. She doesn't.
Yeah.
She sees somebody like using a knife on something. She's like, damn it.
Canonically, in Fire Emblem, dragons only have two teeth, so that's it. She's out.
Oh, really?
Oh, no, wow.
Oh, okay.
That's why. Because I said she took two fangs.
Yeah,
out
I know.
You guys are like, well, she's all gums now.
Yeah.
No, I knew it was a joke, but I wanted to explore that. Like, what? Did they all get it in a different area? Sometimes they both have them on the bottom.
It'd be very much like a snake, I guess, in that case, right?
Snakes have a lot of teeth, though.
Do they?
All the way down their belly.
Peter, herpetology O'Donohue over here.
Over here, yeah. Snakes have a lot of teeth. I have a snake jawbone sitting on my dresser right now, actually.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
I thought they had two. Fangs. It's where the venom comes from.
Not the non-poison ones. Like, a python has tons of teeth.
Yeah.
I guess that makes
sense. It's nightmarish, honestly. What no arms, lots of teeth.
The strangly ones, though.
That's what I'm talking about, yeah.
Constrictors, I believe they're called.
Yeah.
Asphyxiator.
That's what I said.
A strangly snake.
Yeah.
A strangly boy. No legs, all choke. Naga then places her infant daughter, so she's one of the few dragons who wasn't made infertile from this disease, and she has an infant daughter, Tiki. She places her infant daughter in the care of another, an ice dragon, and tasks the wise Manakeet Goto with watching over the world, and dies. She's like, well... That's it. My time's done.
No teeth. That's
no teeth. I guess that's it for me, baby. Yeah.
I'm not eating mashed up food.
No, all they eat is like eggs that just have just a thick enough shell that you need at least a tooth to get through. Yeah.
How am I going to open all these canned beans?
Just my own crazy fan theory here while doing the research. She dies like right after fashioning the sword Falchion. So I like to believe. Like,
you keep saying fashion and falchion so close together. Fashion, falchion, fashion, falchion, falchion.
Well, maybe I'm doing that on purpose.
Yeah, okay, go for it.
She fashions falchion.
Yeah.
from her fang, and if the notes are to be believed, from the Dragonstone, which is much of a dragon's essence, is something they impart in the Dragonstone. So I like to believe she just put like a lot of herself into the Dragonstone, then made that into falchion.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah, all right.
Later on in the series, you do meet people who are heavily hinted to be like reincarnations of Naga, but never explicitly said so. And I like to believe, this is my Loreboy canon fan theory, that she is in the sword falchion that Marth wields.
Okay, cool.
So he's like, yeah, wielding like the greatest good, essentially.
Nice.
The temple sits in relative quiet with its keeper Medeus for some 700 years until the year -10.
What happened then, Ethan?
I guess you guys can bet something's coming up in 10 years, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Don't ask me how I know.
We know it's not Jesus Christ being born, even though we keep saying
BC. Jamie, spoilers, it was Jesus. I was lying this whole time. The year -10, God fucks Mary.
Is that how we're going to get Jesus into Smash now?
Yeah. Jesus so OP in Smash.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you think Snake's ass was getting a lot of praise. Yeah. Just
you wait. You see Jesus?
How many teeth does Snake have in Super Smash Bros?
Two.
How many teeth does Snake
have? Exactly.
Two in his mouth, two in his butt.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Jesus put him there. During the centuries, Medeus had become obsessed with watching humans from afar, the rise and fall of their kingdoms, and their perceived evils.
That's also some peaceful hedonism.
It was right like
he's getting off to it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's it. It was like voyeurism, I think is what
yeah,
that is.
Well.
Voyeuristic hedonism. Voyeuristic peaceful hedonism.
Jesus, guys. We sound like hipster porn like addicts, like coming up with the, yes. all these weird like subcultures to
yeah,
all these
sound like. it was likely because of his obsession with this distant Game of Thrones. Well, we can tag it twice now.
Oh, boom!
Hashtag GOT. Hashtag Game of Thrones. Hashtag fuck.
Team Danny. I don't know.
No
spoilers. No spoilers. No
sign that petition.
I know. I don't watch the show. I know what happens, but I just want to. No spoilers on this cast. So it was probably because he was watching distant humans that he was caught metaphorically asleep at the wheel.
Oh no!
He had one job:
keep an eye on the daughter.
Watch that damn shield.
Jesus take the wheel, right?
Jesus
and then Jesus is born.
Yeah,
that's so, Garth Brooks.
Yeah, yeah. a guy named Jesus Garth Brooks Christ sneaks into the temple and steals the shield. A mere thief named Adra, at the time a bit of a nobody, knowing little of history or the consequences of actions, decides to steal the binding shield.
Do criminals really think that far ahead when you think about it?
Clearly not.
Nope.
Clearly not.
Well, the ones that do think ahead, you just don't know they're criminals, right?
Oh,
oh, that's
whoa.
True, yeah. Yeah.
Bernie Madoff, we're looking at you, huh?
I don't know who that is.
Okay. You heard of Enron?
Yeah, he was like a rich CEO or something.
Pyramid scheme.
Yeah. Anyway.
Enron Hubbard?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Enron
exactly.
Hubbard. Fucked all the boys on the boats. All
right. Got it.
He steals the shield. Adra steals the shield. Pries off the 5 stones and sells them, unknowingly weakening the seal, obviously.
Shoot.
He uses the funds from selling the stones, raises an army, and using that army, along with 3 other stolen artifacts, ancient weapons of immense power, Adra conquers the known world and installs the kingdom of Arcanea.
Did that take 10 years?
That took 10 years.
That's
so
good.
Our boy, our thief, Adra, becomes the first king of Arcanea.
Like Aladdin's dad, sort of.
Sure.
King of Thieves?
I don't know enough about Aladdin's. That's coming up next week, guys.
What?
What's
that song?
Prince of Thieves was Aladdin 2, of course.
Was it? No, yeah. That was Return of Jafar.
Oh, Aladdin 3.
Yeah.
I didn't even know there was 3. I don't think I've ever seen Return of Jafar.
I like Robin Williams in that one thing where he's the magic guy with the wishes.
The genie.
Yes, that's
Jumanji.
The Jumanji, yeah.
Yeah.
Where that's he's right. The Jumanji from Aladdin.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Aladdin and Jasmine get sucked into that board.
Yeah.
That's where the tiger came from.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Seeing as he believes the shield gave him such good fortune, he decides to make it the emblem of his house and renames it the Fire Emblem.
Cool.
They do that. Okay.
Yeah. So the binding shield, once he's pried off all the stones, he's like, well, this thing brought me pretty good luck. It, you know, I went from a nobody thief to the king of the world.
Yeah, but I invented a country that I'm now king of.
Yeah.
Now you got
I guess I'll pass it down to my sons when I die. And yeah.
I don't remember there being that many dragon enemies. I wonder whatever became of the earth dragons who were sleeping.
Maybe we'll get there.
Did they wake up and start spreading syphilis again?
Yeah. In the subsequent centuries, the emblem accrued a mythical role in the Society of Arcanea. It is bestowed by the nation's royalty upon a chosen hero who acts as a representative leader of Arcanea's efforts to save the world from a dark force.
How big is this thing?
Oh.
Shield size.
Okay. So, yeah.
You wear it on your arm.
You know, average shield size. Just a shield and a half, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe big shield, but yeah. Two known heroes have borne the prestige of wielding it, a duke named Catrus during the War of Liberation, and the hero king Marth of Altea during both the War of Shadows and the War of Heroes.
Is this an original Marth, and we've got a shitty knockoff Marth?
This is the Marth.
This is
Jaboy.
He got
Marth.
A dragon sword and a sleepy dragon shield.
He gets sleepy dragon shield and a dragon soul sword.
He's got both of her teeth.
All the dragons want to fuck Marth, you know what I mean?
He's got so many teeth.
He's got so many teeth. Four teeth.
Yeah. Jeez, he doesn't even chew his food. He just matches his sword and shield together.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck. Is that not how you chew?
I use my utensils to just like chop it up into pieces.
I clang my knife and fork together before my mommy comes and chews it for me.
Yeah.
both of these heroes.
then Marth will eat it off her tongue.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because like dragons are like birds.
Yeah.
Both heroes wielded the Fire Emblem in opposition of the one who would become known as Shadow Dragon, Medeus.
Oh, he was the old king.
With the Binding Shield gone, Medeus was left all the time in the world to observe humans, and the increasingly terrible treatment they inflicted upon the weakened and impoverished Manakites of the world.
Oh, no.
So, despite a lack of a seeming lack of organized religion in Fire Emblem, turns out some things are still bad for people. Maybe religion is not all bad, huh? Did you ever think of that, Peter? Peter, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Peter, Mr. Religion Hater over here?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I think Peter has, like, a cross on his necklace.
It's called a crucifix.
I think he's the only one of all of us who's religious.
I'm not religious at all.
Oh, what? Well, maybe I shouldn't ask you on the air why you wear it.
I was just baptized.
Peter, why do you hate Jesus so much? Because he's not in Fire Emblem?
Yeah, of course. That's why I've been sitting around that petition.
That's it. That cross is around his neck, though, was made with one of the snake teeth from his room, actually.
So, humans are being shitty to manakites. They're like these weakened forms. They're like typically like, despite being thousands of years old, like Nils and Ninian come across as like very naive and young. Same with Mir, the Manakite that you meet later on, or Faye, the one you meet in Reckon O'Ken. They look like children. They kind of act like children, but they just know a lot more stuff, you know?
Well, thank God they're 1,000 years old. Am I right, boys?
Yeah.
Knowledgeable and naive.
Nils-kun, I am coming for you. Yeah. Oh, no.
Having had enough, and with Naga gone from the world, Medeus leaves his post and descends as a manakite disguised as a human to found the Dolor Empire.
It's like his boss wasn't looking for like so long. He was just finally like, I'm gonna leave. If my teacher doesn't show up in 15 minutes, we all get to leave.
Yeah, that's it. if the divine dragon god king does not show up in the first 15 minutes.
Yeah, the first 15 centuries. Yeah, you need to go home.
Legally allowed to. The Dolor Empire would conquer the world, and he would rule despotically for 5 years before the Duke Catrus managed to disrupt Dolor's hold in the War of Liberation.
So he used the Fire Emblem to defeat this guy after it had been stolen right from under his nose.
He uses the Fire Emblem to distract this guy by leading a rebellion. During that rebellion, a hero named Henri, wielding the legendary blade Falchion, manages to slay Medeus in single combat.
Mm. Oh, cool.
So it's kind of like a two-pronged effort where like Smokescreen and Dire Through the Heart.
Okay.
You know?
Whenever you say defeat someone with the Fire Emblem, I just picture like them putting it in the air and then like let's anime like all the stones falling into their places, and then the guy just falls asleep because that's what it's made for, right?
Yeah. You can just stab with Falchion.
Yeah. Important to note: there's no stones in the Fire Emblem now.
Oh, they
got sold off by the first king.
But they exist,
scattered throughout the land.
Yeah.
So in one of
bad for that castle.
Yeah,
we'll get there in a couple of paragraphs. But in one of the games, Marth's task is to recover all the stones.
Oh, okay, cool.
Oh,
and that's the first game that actually features them as like items in the game. I believe it's the first one or the third one. Sorry, Mystery of the Emblem.
Okay.
But Medeus was the villain in subsequent Fire Emblem games. I hear you cry. How could he be killed by Henri?
Yeah.
I did say that.
Essentially, yeah, Peter, you wouldn't stop yelling. We had to cut out so much. We had to cut out 50 minutes of you just screaming that at me. It was madness.
Oh, you're going to tell me now?
Yeah. Did you fuck out Earth Dragon recently?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, dude. You're not acting like yourself.
I've been asleep for a long time, guys.
Yeah, that's it. Fucking Earth Dragon took a nap, woke up like this. A century later, Medeus would be revived twice by a dark sorcerer, Garneth, and would immediately seek to restore Dolor's dominion over the world.
And he's in human form now, correct?
So the first time he gets revived, he's actually stuck in dragon form.
Oh, no.
The first time he gets revived is the first
puts fire... Puts on a ball cap and sunglasses to like, hide his identity.
The first time he gets revived is the first first Fire Emblem game.
All
Fire right. Emblem Shadow Dragon is like the first time Garneth resurrects him. So the War of Liberation is not actually a Fire Emblem game. It's just
lore.
In canon. It's just in canon.
Okay.
Lore.
Oh.
He said it.
Now finally title drop.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the other Easter egg. We say lore once an episode.
Yeah.
That was twice the shit.
In both instances, Henri's descendant Marth would defeat him, still wielding the ancient blade which had initially slain him. The first resurrection was hastened, perhaps by a nervous or inexperienced Garneth. We've all had a first time, right, guys?
Oh, yeah.
It's my first time resurrecting an ancient dragon.
Ooh. I'm going to resurrect!
He's coming. And Medeus was forced to remain in dragon form the entire time. So okay. He couldn't switch back and forth. He had less control over his powers, much more like brute force.
Because he had been just drinking too much and he couldn't do it properly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He had whiskey dick.
Yeah. No,
exactly. Instead of a dragon, he got a worm.
Yeah.
Or a snake with no teeth. Or all teeth? Can't remember.
Snakes are completely made of teeth.
Snakes are teeth.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All the bones in a snake called teeth.
That sounds like something that could be real.
Like how shark skin is actually teeth?
Yeah.
Wait, what? Yeah.
They're called like denticles or something? No, that's super true as far as I know. Yeah.
I've never heard that either. I thought this was a bit.
No. No, it's. I'm pretty sure that's legit. I might be talking out my ass, but I think that's
like if any bartenders, a.k.a. marine biologists out there are listening, please crunch at us.
Yeah. I don't even care. I am calling my teeth denticles now. That is so good. Gotta go brush your old denticles.
Yeah, I'll be right back. The denticles, you know what I mean? Got a date coming on later to suck on my denticles. Isn't that a type of twin? A denticle twin?
Dentical twins?
Shark twins are dentical twins.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just their skin that's the same.
You can't tell sharks apart, fuck.
You can't tell sharks apart. Be as smart as you want out there. You'll never tell a shark apart.
Hey, yeah, listen, man.
All sharks are tentacles. You can't tell them apart. With the second resurrection of Medeus.
Okay, the second coming.
The second coming of Medeus. Aided by the life force of four young maidens, so I guess just the way dragons like it.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, we gotta get four young maidens in here, you know what I mean? Yeah, we need four virgins for this party to really
pop off. I
was
gonna say, virtue true.
Yeah. It's implied, never explicit, but I feel like maidens kind of implies virginal. But
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it does.
Maybe that's my bias.
Straight denticles.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Garneth was able to return Medeus to true life with full control of his powers. Medeus had evolved...
Full control of his bowels?
Yeah. Did I say bowels? I meant to say powers.
I like stop listening to that sentence and it completed it in my head. It's like incontinent in the
so
first
the first
game.
One, he was permanently a dragon, constantly shitting himself.
Yeah, exactly.
He just couldn't control it.
Yep.
He's like a dog. You gotta let him out.
That's how he... Yeah. Destroy the village. No, I'll make you shit yourself.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Fuck.
That's it. I'll make you wear the diaper, okay? You get to shit in the house if you do what I say.
You get to shit in the house.
Medeus, with his second resurrection, had evolved into a Shadow Dragon. A really inconsistent title.
Cool.
So I was kind of like researching, what is a Shadow Dragon? Some places like imply it was like true control of his powers. Like he had different powers from a traditional Earth Dragon, but it's unclear.
Like a rank instead of
the in the KKK
powers.
Or something.
So like
Medeus, Shadow Dragon.
Medeus, the
lives
Shadow
in
Dragon.
Arkansas. Yeah.
Wearing a diaper and a hood.
Yeah, exactly.
He's only got one denticle.
Yeah.
they probably wear diapers under those things. They're hard to take. Off.
I assume the long robes is to cover the diaper bulge.
Yeah, of course.
For all KKK members. Yes. I assume they are constantly pissing and shitting themselves. Yeah. Every KKK member just constantly shitting and pissing themselves. That's why they like the rally so much, is because they can finally wear the diaper without having that like really padded, you know, pants look.
The frumpy thing up there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And the smell kind of just all blends in together. No one can really blame
Nobody
you.
Nobody knows who shit themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys ever burn a really big T-shaped incense?
Yeah.
Just to get that funk
out.
That's
so fucked.
The smell, the wood smoke, just to cover the smell of shit. Because all the KKK members have shit and piss.
They're
incontinent,
exactly.
What horrible people.
We try not to get political on this show, but if you're a KKK
That's
member,
pretty easy.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Wow. Wow, we're so brave, guys.
That's a
yeah.
bold
really taking
stance,
a chance here.
But
yeah, I came up with that all by myself. Yeah, exactly. I don't like the KKK.
Wow. Wow, Peter O'Donoghue, first person to dislike the KKK.
You guys followed pretty quickly.
We quickly followed too because we're complete patsies. So yeah, Shadow Dragon, in some instances, it's just like an epithet, like it's a title. It is like his class in the game, but there's no other Earth Dragons in that particular game. And then in a subsequent game, like there, you do meet one Earth Dragon in the palace of the king that he is controlling, like behind the scenes, Puppet Master style. So Shadow Dragon doesn't really mean anything, but it's like an ominous title or whatever.
Okay.
After the third time Medeus is slain, Marth is tasked by Goto, the wise caretaker appointed by Naga, to collect all the stones and restore the Binding Shield to prevent further corruption from whatever illness still seeped into the from the resting place of the dragons. Arcanea was united under Marth following this, and Falchion and the Fire Emblem would remain heirlooms of his house.
Cool. I learned a lot.
That's Fire Emblem.
So now we know where the sword's tooth, the
shield
is tooth.
The shield is tooth.
What was the guy's name that Naga put in charge?
Goto.
Goto. So
G-O-T-O-E.
Goto was probably finally just like, hey, this has got to stop. Every time he comes back, he keeps pooping himself.
Yeah,
we just got to get him out of here.
Shit across the countryside, at least it makes him easy to track.
Yeah, Marth, get over here. I got a job for you.
Yeah. If you're fighting through that shit, though, it's like a minus 50 accuracy.
Yeah,
it's
yeah that's it. Kind of sucks. Poison damage.
The stank.
Yeah.
Stank debuff.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit of a crazy cast, but I had a lot of fun doing it.
Oh,
boy! I hope you guys listened at home. I hope you guys enjoyed it.
There's one takeaway: fucking denticles, man.
Jamie won't remember a single thing about the lore of this episode,
but he'll know about sharks
because that's his kind of behind the scenes meme. Like that's his behind the scenes personality that you guys don't know about is that he can remember names and faces like you wouldn't believe, like fucking Rain Man. But anything we talk about on air, just out, just out, like in one ear, out the other. He will remember denticles.
I will remember denticles. Yeah,
and that it's a shark's skin. Apparently,
we're gonna Google that.
Yeah,
we are going to Google it after the show.
Please,
for real.
And we will tweet it out of context right after this recording.
Oh, I wanted to thank Tom Jensen, by the way. He's on all of our stuff. He's continually liking all of our stuff, checking out our Instagram and stuff. Just one of those guys who's just always there. So thank you for being around.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for interacting with us. We really love hearing from you guys. It's awesome. If you want to get in touch with us, we have a Twitter, we have a Facebook, we have an Instagram. They're all some variation of Lore Boys.
Yeah.
You can find all the information on our site, loreboys.com. Jamie streams on Twitch sometimes.
Yeah. Currently, I'm your main source of revenue, Lore
You're
Boys.
You're our only source of revenue.
Our ad pennies all come through Twitch.
Literally all I do is spend money on this show. But I have a lot of fun doing it, so I don't really mind. If you guys want to check out Jamie on Twitch, it's twitch.tv/loreboys. The Loreboys.
It's the Loreboys. THELORE Boys.
BOYS.
Don't ask me how to spell. Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
It's Loreboys on Twitter @loreboys.
At Loreboys, Loreboys podcast on Instagram.
Yep.
Facebook is the Loreboys, I think.
Yep.
And or Loreboys. They have a pretty good search function.
We have pretty consistent branding.
Pretty consistent.
But if you Google Loreboys, it goes right to our website.
That's it. Yeah. You'll find us if you Google Loreboys.
Loreboys.com.
Please reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to leave us a review on iTunes, super, super, super helps the show.
Yeah.
Jamie keeps talking about making a Patreon. We haven't done it yet.
Fuck yeah.
I'm not super into stealing your guys' money like Jamie wants to do. He literally wants to steal all your money from you.
I think it's a great idea to give people who care about the show the opportunity to invest in it. And if that means getting us like a mixer so we don't have a program that breaks every time we unplug something.
And on the same thread, if you're not in a place to support us financially and you wanna help us out, leave us a review on iTunes, leave us a review on Castbox or whatever podcast app you use, wherever you find, like, set us up a Yelp page.
I'd say funnel it through iTunes if you can. That'll give us the
contact
the
Better Business Bureau. You know, just scream at people on the street how much you love the show.
On the BBB, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, because that's how it works. You just call the BBB and you tell them what grade you want to get something.
As somebody who works in customer service, a lot of people think that's how it works. They're always just threatening, BBB!
Yeah.
Fuck, people I bought a game and I don't like it. BBB.
BBB is...
Yeah. For it.
BBB is like a super corrupt organization too, which is like known for just like, you got to pay us if you want a good score.
Yeah.
It literally means nothing.
It's just a racket?
It is literally a racket.
Well, you look at something, one of the most popular games in recent times, Fortnite. You look at their BBB score, it's trash. They don't fucking care. Okay, they're making millions of dollars off of Tiny Chills.
Every day.
We're Epic Games, guys.
BBB,
we will buy you and close you if we have to.
Exactly.
Better Business Bureau, Epic Store exclusive.
There we literally scooping up everything these days.
I really wanted to leave a bad review for this restaurant that made me sick, but I just don't want to make an Epic account.
You know what? I'll make a Steam account and complain about it there.
Yeah.
That's what most people do.
If you want to get in contact with us personally, I would love to interact with you guys on Twitter. I'm on Twitter a lot. You can find me at EthanTheDeadMan. I'm not really on any other social media, but you can find me there, maybe.
I'm at Pete O'Donoghue on Twitter. And then, of course, there's the Lore Boys Instagram, at Lore Boys Podcast. Come on. I took a vacation to draw some silly pictures. It's been nice. Been relaxing.
Yeah, you'll find me most on the Instagram and Facebook, both which you can find with the Lore Boys. And also, if you wanted to play some PlayStation with me, I'm still playing a ton of Apex at JAYMILLK64. I'm on a 5-day vacation right now, and I'm catching all those levels.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
And for anybody who wants to support the show financially, like I said, I wasn't going to steal your money, but if you wanted to pay me directly, we have this feature called Lore Boys Premium, where you guys pay a paltry sum, and we give you guys something very cool in return.
What is it this week?
So I was talking with my good friend Ryan Williams, who lives in New Brunswick, and is a marine biologist, a.k.a. bartender, who deals with clams a lot.
Yeah, Clam Master.
And he, Clam Master 96 on Twitch, Embo 96 on Twitch, actually, decided to send us a bucket of clams to enjoy on the show. We've been eating sea boogers this entire time.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good. I'm feeling very sick. I think I've eaten about 100 clams.
Yeah. I hope you guys will excuse all the awful slurping throughout. The show.
Yeah. We'll do what we can to remove it in post, but there's only so much we could do.
Yeah.
Not miracle workers.
But this the bucket that he sent us has these five gems on it. These five like precious gems. So I've been using my shucking knife to try and pry them off, and the first one's coming loose. So the first five people who reach out to us on Twitter and pledge their support will be receiving one of these special gems in the mail coming up. Just tweet at us your personal address. We will not accept a post office box. Tweet at us your personal address and tell us what you like about the show, and we will send you a gem, a valuable gem.
I'm pretty sure a shark just bit the bucket, and those are denticles.
Those are denticles, sharks do love clams. That is Lore Boys canon. And I guess that supports, or constitutes.
That's
also supports my theory that this is a Lore Boys
out.
Bad dudes, we miss you.
Oh, yeah,
oh,
no. Bad dudes.
Oh, I'm so sad.
What happened? Imagine before talking for a long time, you had to do all your inhales before, and then it was just a big exhale afterwards. Like, if you're going to give a half-hour long speech.
Welcome to the Lore Boys! About to do a podcast and I'm breathing in once.
It's like playing bagpipes.
Exactly.
Circular breathing for podcasting.
Then, and then, like, whenever you're doing the public speaking, you'd feel like an hour's coming up, and you're going to actually run out of breath, so you have to really get around to it.
But you're, like, hyperventilating because you're nervous about public speaking.
Yeah, exactly.
Go stop breathing out. Go stop breathing out.
All right. That's silly.
Is it a cock fee? I call it cock fee.
Oh, nice.
I'm progressive.
Oh, yeah. Is that how that works?
I think so.
Sex is progressive.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just putting your penis into more things. He's putting a penis into coffee right there.
All
right. Yeah.
Your balls, too?
Don't slut shame me, Peter.
I'm not.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.